Welcome to the Apple Context Machine, a podcast about all things Apple, with your hosts, Jeff Gamet and Brian Chaffin.
Today is August 19th, 2011, and this is the Apple Context Machine, episode number 189, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, human pee machine. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you would like to comment on or question anything about the show, including my inappropriate title, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
Well done.
Thank you.
And hey, it's great to hear your voice.
Yeah. You know, golly, it seems like it was just 2011 the last time we did this.
Yeah. Wow. Time flies. Yeah.
Time flies. To everyone who has asked us to do another podcast, we would like to apologize for it taking this long, but here we are.
I really thought you were going to say, stop nagging.
No, the funny thing is that someone's going to hear this. Someone's going to listen to this. You know, we don't deserve it, but someone is going to listen to this. And I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, actually that's great. I think it's awesome that there's people out there that want to hear what we have to say.
Yeah, it's pretty lucky. That's pretty lucky. So thanks for the encouragement to get off our butts and actually podcast again. We will be here at least for the next 3 months, counting this one. At least.
At least. Okay, well, that was a great show. See you all next week.
No, but man, this has been a wild week. It seems appropriate that we have chosen this week to actually podcast again, because it's been kind of a crazy week.
It kind of has. We've had some crazy news from Google. We've had really crazy news from HP. And it all relates back to Apple, because that's kind of how the universe works, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, one of our listeners and readers, Vaughn, from South Carolina, noted that he sent me a direct message, and he said that, got to say, this week has been too weird and convoluted. And I wasn't sure what he meant at first, but he's like, well, you know, it's like crazy ups and downs with Google buying MMI and HP saying goodbye to the WebOS. I mean, those are two extraordinarily significant shifts.
And neither was leaked ahead of time.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is
both of these announcements caught everyone off guard.
Yeah. Certainly me. But yeah, no, there weren't any rumors about, oh my God, what's Apple or what's Google up to, or oh my God, what's no, maybe no one cares. No, that's not the case though. There's not even a joke there. Clearly, people care about what Google's doing.
I don't think
anyone cares about what HP is doing at this point. But we'll get to that, right?
I'm sure we will.
All right. So the theme of our show this quarter is the topsy-turvy. You know, I was thinking, you know, like, you know, it's been 6 months, but you know, it wasn't like a 2H. You know, it's like it'd be easier to write a joke about that in print than it would be to say it. But anyway,
and yet you still made me laugh, so well done.
Yay. But the theme of this show is definitely the crazy world of competing with Apple in the mobile space, and that's obviously going to center around two stories, and that's Google buying the two stories we just mentioned, Google buying Motorola Mobility and HP killing off WebOS.
Right. So, yeah. So how about if we just hop into the Google thing?
Right. Chronological then?
Yeah, that works.
I like it. So why don't you catch us up on what actually happened? Because I believe that you covered that news.
Okay. So beginning of the week, Google dropped a little bombshell. And when I say little, I mean big, on all of us when they announced that they were buying Motorola's mobile division. And so that means that that Google will have control over Motorola's mobile device product line.
Well, the Motorola Mobility was spun off as a separate company.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they were buying that entire separate company.
Right. It was still under the Motorola umbrella. Like if you went to Motorola.com, it gives you two links.
Yeah, but it was traded regular Motorola as a separate company.
Yeah. So anyhow, so this gives Google control over the mobile devices that Motorola Mobility makes, plus any of the software they have, and what I think is more important in Google's mind, all of the patents that Motorola had. And what they promised, and when I say they, I mean Google, what Google promised was that they would allow Motorola Mobility to continue operating as its own independent company, and it wouldn't be getting any special treatment compared to other companies that also happen to be making smartphones with Android OS.
Balderdash! Nonsense!
Okay, now while you're having a seizure, I'd like to point out I actually got through that whole thing without laughing.
I know you did, but you know part of why I scoff is that's like the exact opposite wrong thing for them to do. But before we get there, finish the news.
All right. So anyhow, this is setting Google back, I believe, what is it, $12.5 billion?
$12.5 billion.
And this comes after they failed to be the winning bidder in Nortel's patents a few weeks ago, where they bid $pi billion.
Mm-hmm. Fun stuff.
Which is actually less than what they paid for Motorola.
Well, to be fair though, they're getting a lot more. Whether or not it's worth it's another issue, but they are at least getting a lot more.
Yeah, there are a lot of questions about how valuable these patents, these mobile patents, actually will be for Google. And, okay, so you know what I find really interesting out of this is that Google shelled out $12.5 billion to buy all of this so that they could have the patents. And they made it pretty clear in their statements that they wanted patents. And so I have to wonder, were they surprised to find out that there's actually product and people that go along with this?
It's a really good question. I question Motorola. By the way, Sam Kennedy tweeted that there was lots of stuff for us to talk about today, and that
yes,
you
did.
Needed to keep your pants on because this is some serious stuff.
I saw that, and Sam, you need to get the memos to me earlier, okay?
I told him it was asking a lot.
It is.
That's beside the point.
I mean, we're here. What more do you people want?
But Jeff with pants on? Come on.
God. Yeah, so anyhow, where was I going with that? Oh, I remember. All right, so Google buys these Motorola patents. This is after they lose out on the Nortel patents. And after they lost out on the Nortel patents, then they did the whole thing about, well, this whole thing with scooping up these patents is bad anyhow, and people shouldn't be doing this, and this is really bad, and double harumph. And then they turn around and snatch up all the Motorola patents.
Right, by snatching up Motorola.
Exactly.
Right. And the thing about it is, and if it is vaguely possible that I'm going to manage to get a column out today on this topic.
I believe in you.
I don't.
That's a really bad start, just so you know.
I'm hopeful, though. I am ever hopeful. The reality is that Google should buy Motorola in order to start making their own hardware. Yeah, the patents are nice, but Google has a huge opportunity to reshape the mobile device market in an extraordinarily positive way by overnight becoming a large whole widget competitor to Apple. A whole widget competitor to Apple with almost all of the same assets and strengths as Apple, even if they're executed in slightly different ways. They have a chance to do that. They have an opportunity to do this, and they're going to not do it.
Okay, you just addressed my whine right there. I now agree with what you're saying. You're absolutely right. They have this incredible opportunity in front of them, and I believe they are going to squander it.
They will squander it, and they're going to. To me, they're going. I mean, it's one thing. If they want to buy these patents and then just turn around and re-spin off Motorola as a standalone company, maybe with the remaining patents that they don't care about or something, I mean, that's one thing. I mean, we are talking about 17,000 patents, although I saw one source say it was 24,000 patents. I'm not sure which is right, but I believe that 17,000 is right. That's a lot of patents, and... You know, and all they need is a few critical ones to have leverage over Apple to keep Apple from smashing Android to bits through the legal process.
Yeah, and that's the trick right there. Did they actually get patents that will allow them to do that?
They at least got patents. I don't know what they got, but I would be shocked if there's not something that will help. Something that will allow them to try to intercede on behalf of their OEMs, whatever. I don't know. But if that is their path, and they really just wanted the patents and don't care about the hardware, they're doing it wrong. R-O-N-G. They're doing it wrong. Because, you can't... I don't think that it makes any sense. I don't really even it makes no sense to even try, and I don't think that they can not show their own company favoritism versus the OEMs, the other OEMs.
I just don't see how they can make that really work. But
they shouldn't.
No, you're right. They shouldn't. I mean, they should totally exploit what they've purchased, and they should totally build their own phone with it's their own hardware, their own software, built exactly the way they want it, just as Apple would do, and put that on the market.
Right. The best Android device from the nerds who actually care, and I mean I'm counting you and me, probably a lot of our listeners in that too. I mean, you know, we are nerds and we do care. We just, most of us choose iOS and iPhone, right?
Right.
But the best Android device that I've seen universally praised was the Nexus One, which is the one that it wasn't a whole widget for Motorola, but it was close to it, where they controlled its direction, but Samsung built it. Right? Was it Samsung?
The Nexus One?
Not the Nexus. Right? Wasn't the Nexus One?
I think the Nexus One was an HTC phone,
but that is the one that Motorola was selling, right?
Absolutely. Not, okay. So, all right. So you're okay, even if you have the wrong company name.
Right.
You went down the right path.
And whoever built it, Motorola controlled it, but you know someone else built it. You know that now that's the one Android device that few people will bitch about. And, you know, there were problems with the way they were trying to sell it, and, you know, it wasn't a huge success, and they ended up pulling it after a while. But the ones that are out there are still well-liked.
Yeah, I got to play with one. I thought it was a really nice phone. The problems that I had with it were primarily because of Android OS and inconsistencies in the interface.
Sure.
But yeah, well, the hardware was really nice.
The things that make us choose iOS to begin with.
Right. But I thought it was a great step towards a whole widget product.
Right.
It showed a lot of promise, and it really was a good phone.
And Motorola's Droid was a good phone. Motorola's been doing cell phones and smartphones for a long time, a lot longer than Apple has. And
true.
They've got some fantastic resources and engineers, and you know, if they could get a unified vision controlling the smartphones and maybe even tablets, they might be able to make a great product. Now, I mean, so the reality is that Google and Apple are both winning the smartphone market, right? Apple's got...
Okay, that's a fair statement.
The Apple's got the profits. All of them. You know, most of them. And Google has the market share whereby they get to make sure their ads, because, you know, hooray, everything's paid for by IGA. They get to make sure that that their ads are on mobile devices. And that's what they want. I mean, like I've said this several times. They're fighting two different battles, and Apple can win while Google also wins.
Yeah, I think that's totally reasonable. Yeah, Apple, they're winning their money. Google is winning their market share, and they're both making popular products. And actually, I'm okay with that. Yeah,
I am too. So Google doesn't need to do whole widget to win because they're already winning.
Yeah, but it would be a really cool thing if they did a whole widget and they did it right.
Right. That's because I want... I don't think that Apple has any competition in the quality experience category right now. I think Android is a mess.
It is a mess. Yeah. Oh, the irony. The product that could potentially give Apple a run for its money is being built by the same company, or could be built by the same company, that gave us an absolute crap pile mess of an operating system.
Right. And it's not so much that the operating system itself, this may seem like a...
How about if I change that and say crap pile of an interface?
Or how about an ecosystem? Because, I mean, Android is fine. Android is certainly fine enough for smartphones. You know, that's one of the big deals about the tablet market, is that the killer app for a smartphone is access to the internet and a browser. Right? If you can do that and you can do that well, people are going to be more or less satisfied.
And right, and they'll go out and they'll go out and buy your iPhone, or they'll go out and buy your Droid.
Right, and of course, more people are buying various Android models than are buying iPhones, and that's because good enough truly is good enough. It's not like where Microsoft's good enough really was crap. In the case of smartphones, Android's good enough truly is good enough. It's good enough for most people. It's not good enough for tablets, but that's another issue. And the my rambling point is that did I lose my rambling point already? That's funny. My rambling point is that
and I'm not helping you out here. I'm just waiting to see what happens.
Something Android bad, iOS good.
Okay, see you guys next week.
That's a wrap. The whole thing about the iOS, when I say that the Android is a mess, to me it's because of the disparate quality in devices and the incredible fracturing of the different OSs that are being used. I mean, there are still products out there being marketed with that ship with Android 2.2, which is like a year old and several versions ago. That to me is a mess.
I bet if we looked around, we would find
there's some 2.1 devices,
brand new Android phones running 1.5.
Oh, that
or 1.7
maybe. I wouldn't know that. There's definitely 2.1 devices.
To drive your point home even more, there's so much variation in the products that are out there. There's no consistency, and that's bad for the product itself, meaning Android, and it's bad for the consumers because they have no way of knowing if they're getting the product that they think they're getting, and there's no consistency for them. I mean, even if you go from one Android phone to another, you have to relearn your phone.
Yeah, and some... some devices can't be upgraded. The platform is a mess. I'm okay with the current version of Android as an operating system. I mean, it really offers a lot. It offers some things that the iOS doesn't. Certainly, Google's own services that it offers, the voice commands that you can do and stuff. I mean, that stuff is superior on an Android device.
It is. Have you seen the little swipe to type feature on Android phones where you just slide your finger around the keyboard?
Yeah.
That is fracking cool.
That's not a Google mention.
Oh, that's an add-on for it?
But it's an add-on supported at the OS level and on some devices.
Okay, well, the point is that's a really fracking cool feature. Yeah, and the fact that it's there, and I think it's a superior way to type on the keyboard.
It doesn't work for me. I'm old.
Oh, well.
I'm old. When I was your age, which was like a couple months ago, when I was your age, you had to press the buttons instead of smearing your fingers around for the letters.
Fine. I'll get off your damn lawn.
No, I know other people who think that's the bee's knees, and that it's an option, especially for it to be an option at the OS level, is definitely a cool thing. It's not for me, but it is for a lot of people.
I think it's an absolutely brilliant feature, and it's something I would love to see on the iPhone.
There's a sample app that'll do it. You know, I mean, the company that makes that technology released an app through the App Store. That, you know, you just can't, you know, you can't use it in mail, but you can send it. I think if I remember correctly, you can send an email through it, right? But you're not going to use it in mail.app. You're not going to use it in Safari.
I need to go hunt that thing down.
I'll find it for you. Maybe we'll even put it in the show notes.
Assuming it could happen.
We can find it. I have very, very little confidence in me or faith, but I believe in you.
So I've gathered today.
Yeah, but I believe in you.
Let's hug.
Oh, I am hugging you even as we speak.
Oh.
Wait, that was drinking a glass of water.
I mix those up a lot, too. Yeah.
I do, too. All right, so Google mess. Yeah. All right. So what we were talking about is I was rambling on about the fact that Google is already winning the race, the fight that they're fighting.
And Apple's winning the fight that they're fighting.
Right. So Google doesn't need the whole widget to somehow beat Apple because they're already doing just fine. Again, there's no real competition between the two. But Google could turn around and, first of all, make a crap ton of money by selling high margin hardware, just like Apple does. But Google could start competing on the basis of quality, and you know, offering just the best hardware with tightly integrated. The tightly integrated operating system, and they can still leave the platform open to different app stores and with apologies to Apple and different ways to do stuff if that's what they want to do. It's not that they need to copy Apple in its entirety, but they could offer better devices if they went whole widget, and that to me would be my dream is that Microsoft buys Nokia and starts making the only Windows Phone 7, Windows Phone OS devices. Google starts making the only Android devices. Apple's making the only iOS devices, and the three of them duke it out as whole widget device makers. I think we would have an incredible explosion of advances that would be fantastic for us as the end users.
You know, that would actually be really cool. The sad thing is, I don't see that happening.
I don't either. I think it's actually more possible that Microsoft would, ironically, stop licensing than it is that Google will do it.
I don't think there's a likelihood that Microsoft or Google will stop licensing.
Right, the PEG one, which is the more likely between the two? I mean, because right now, what does Microsoft have to lose?
the entire foundation, the entire philosophy of the company, meaning...
Yeah, but they have nothing to lose on the mobile device market. They've got no market share.
Yeah, they could, but...
One company, two systems, just like China. One country, two systems.
I just don't see them doing that at all, because that's not the Microsoft way. I mean, look at the philosophy they're taking in the tablet market. What they're doing isn't trying to come up with the best tablet. They're trying to come up with Windows for a tablet. And what they need to
do... Are you talking about Windows 8?
Yeah, okay. Like with Windows 8? Yeah, so what they need to do, instead of focusing on, we have to make it about Windows, they need to focus on, we have to make it the best product we can, which in that case would be, you let the teams create what that product is. And that's not what Microsoft does. It's, we have Windows, now make a thing that does Windows.
Yep.
And then Windows also, because of Microsoft's philosophy, goes out to all the other companies. And I just don't see them changing from that. But if they did, if they bought Nokia and they said, okay, let's make the most absolute kick-ass smartphone we possibly can, go. I think that there would be people in Cupertino that would start getting really worried about making sure that the next iPhone was even better than anyone could possibly imagine.
Yeah, and note that Apple has not sued Microsoft for patent infringement. And that's because Microsoft came up with a homegrown approach for Windows Phone 7.
They did. And you know what? Good for Microsoft.
Absolutely good for Microsoft. Good for Microsoft. And you know, we didn't really plan on talking about the patent thing, but you know, I mean, the reality
but here we are.
The reality is that you know, Google tries to play victim, but they're stealing IP. You know, they're copying Apple's innovations.
Do you remember, it was probably a week or so ago, maybe a little bit longer, where Google's executives, I can't remember which one, was standing in front of the world whining about how they were being beat up by people, by companies that refused to innovate in the smartphone space and instead were trying to control them through litigation.
Yeah. That was one of their top lawyers.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, really? Man, someone needs to learn how to use their inside voice, because that was not the right thing to say. But there you go. That's their philosophy. They're seeing everyone else and all their patents as the problem, and not the fact that they have failed to innovate better than Apple has.
Well, are they? It's not that it's. I'm going to quibble again. It's not that they failed to innovate better than Apple. Is that they tried to follow Apple?
Yeah, that's exactly what they tried to do. Which adds to the sweet, sweet irony of saying that their competitors aren't innovating and instead are litigating.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I found that. I found that little thing tilt-inducing, to say the least, because it's so disingenuous. It's so massively disingenuous, and we'll include a link to that in the show notes too, to our coverage of that.
Well, I hope you remember.
I've got very little faith. good times. Speaking of good times.
Yes, Brian?
We have a sponsor this week.
Oh, good times.
It is good times, especially because it gives us an excuse to talk about... is it fair for me to say this is one of your favorite series?
This is one of my new favorite series, yeah.
So our sponsor is Audible. Just tell us.
Those are the guys that make the awesome audio books that you can download and play on your computer or your iPhone or iPod and other MP3 players.
Probably Android devices too, because I'm sure we have a lot of Android fans listening.
We probably do.
Actually, I'm sure that we do have Android users listening. You know, a lot of we absolutely do have Android users.
And thanks for listening, gang.
Thanks. Sorry about bagging on your crappy ass smartphones.
But hey, that typing, swiping thing's awesome.
It sure is, and so is the Google voice-activated stuff. That truly is awesome. Anyway.
Yeah, but sponsors.
Audible.com. They make audiobooks, professionally produced audiobooks with usually fantastic narrators. I've yet to hear a bad one, to be honest, but no doubt.
Same here.
Maybe there's one out there, but whatever. Everyone I've heard has just been super awesome. And there, of course, has been... well, there's been a lot of books released since our last podcast.
Yeah, those Audible people are busy. Yeah, they're cranking out books so fast.
They are. But there's one book in particular that is in a series that we love. The book is A Dance of Dragons, and the series is A Song of Ice and Fire, which is written by George R. R. Martin and has been turned into an HBO series under the name of A Game of Thrones, or actually just Game of Thrones, which is actually the first name of the first book.
The first, yeah.
And Dance of Dragons is the sixth book out.
There's a lot of stuff that happens in that world.
There is a lot of stuff. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff. This ain't no Wheel of Time, where you know the whole point is just to come up with new excuses to write books. Now this is it's been taking more books than George planned to actually tell the story.
It's just one of those compelling stories.
Yes,
and you can listen to it.
Yeah, you can listen to it. You can listen to it, and it's. It's nice. It's nice. I know people that listen to audiobooks while they commute, and then also even while you know they'll go to sleep or anytime they have a lot of time on their hands. And then I know other people who prefer to hear their books rather than read them.
Yeah, and how awesome is that we actually have the technology available to have the option to experience books in the ways that we want.
Right. That's right. So to demonstrate it, I thought that the Dance of Dragons is a good example of a book. So here's the deal. If you sign up for Audible, you can get a free book through us. If you sign up for a gold membership, it's a 14-day free trial of Audible Listener Gold membership. Right, and you'll get a free audiobook to try it out with. So right. It's a free trial with a free book.
Right. Should I throw out that URL now or make everyone wait?
Why don't you tell them now?
Okay. All right. So the URL is audiblepodcast.com/context.
That's for us. In case you forgot who we are, we're the Apple Context Machine.
Oh, right. So audiblepodcast.com/context.
And we'll have, of course, that URL in the show notes. And Dance of Dragons, like I said, is a great example because it's got Roy Dotrice, which I'm not actually sure if that's how to pronounce his last name. It could be Dotrice.
I say pronounce it however you think it sounds coolest.
Dotrice.
Except for that.
Okay. And he's got a fantastic voice. He's done all of the Song of Ice and Fire and several other George Martin books, too. And I'm going to play like a 15-second segment. And for those who have already read the book, this would be from the prologue.
"A mercy," he said aloud. His throat was raw, but it felt good to hear a human voice, even his own. The air smelled of mold and damp. The ground was cold and hard, and his fire was giving off more smoke than heat. He moved as close to the flames as he dared, coughing and shivering by turns, his side throbbing where his wound had opened.
Like I said, he's got a great voice.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's really good stuff. I really enjoyed the Potter books, by the way. Apple gave us... the, I think it was, I think it was the Haploid Prince they gave us as an Audible book when they first signed Audible onto iTunes.
That was a pretty clever move.
Yeah, actually, I don't think Audible's on iTunes anymore.
Oh, whoops.
I think that's the case. But anyway, once upon a time they were, and Apple gave us one of the Potter books, and that guy was also fantastic. When you've got a great narrator, it makes it, it's almost like...
It becomes a more compelling story.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you're listening to kind of like you're listening to an old-fashioned radio play. Except for one.
And for those of you that don't know what that is, radio was a popular medium at one point where they used.
All right, Audible, please go check them out. Good stuff, and we appreciate their sponsorship.
That's right. Audiblepodcast.com/context.
All righty. Now, let us talk about the other big news. It's like there were two seismic shifts this week, and that the second one being that HP killed off the touchpad and all their webOS smartphones.
That was a huge shocker. Yeah. And it a big disappointment, and it also dashed my hopes, and I believe your hopes too, that we had found the other big competitor in the mobile device market.
Yeah, dashed my hopes, but not my expectations.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. I was trying to be more optimistic than you were, but... to no avail.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, let's give a little tribute to the touchpad. I'll stop.
I was saluting.
All right. So what happened this week? HP, first of all, they're going to sell or spin off their PC business.
And I did a Scooby double take when I heard that.
Yeah, you might think it'd be easy for us, especially us Apple watchers, to think that HP is a PC company. And they are a PC company. Last quarter, they brought in $9.8 billion in PC sales, which...
That's a lot of computers.
Which is a lot of computers, and it's a lot of money. It's, a lot more money and computers than Apple... actually, what was Apple's revenue? Yeah, there's no way it was $9.8 billion for Macs. Yeah, it's a lot less than that. Anyway, the point is they sell a lot of computers. But it's a little bit less than a third of their overall business because last quarter they turned in $31 billion in revenues. So what's left is mostly their printer business and their enterprise services and software business. Plus, they're buying enterprise company Autonomy. That's actually a pretty big acquisition, assuming it gets approved, which it may or may not. And at the same time, they killed off all of their webOS devices. That's the touchpad. That's the all the various smartphones that were a continuation. The pre-line stuff like that. The stuff that Palm had originally put out.
Right. So when we lost the webOS platform and those devices, we lost a major and what I thought was a very hopeful competitor to Apple in the mobile market.
By the way, everybody, Jeff is dealing with incredibly bad allergies right now, and he is such a trooper.
Are my allergies coming through in the show?
Well, no, I can tell that you're trying to keep from sneezing.
Yeah, sorry.
So, you are a professional and trooper, good sir.
Even if I may or may not have pants.
Yes, may or may not. So now keep in mind, though, that the HP is keeping webOS per se. And they're going to explore options. In other words, I think they're going to be looking for licensing opportunities. Now, it's possible they're just going to turn webOS into a crappy automotive and home appliance operating system. But my guess is they're going to try to license it just like Microsoft does with Windows and just like Google does with Android.
That is such a disappointment.
It is such a disappointment. What, you know, but what was also a disappointment is just how bad a job John Rubenstein's team had done with the touchpad. The touchpad was a joke.
And it really had so much promise. I mean, I was so excited to see that thing come out. I know you were too. And when it finally shipped, months after their dare I say, Gandhi-esque performance for us. And by that, I mean the length of the movie Gandhi.
Ah. Strained, but nice.
So anyhow, they give us this incredibly long presentation about all of these webOS devices that are coming out. Months and months later, they ship the touchpad, and it's not even finished.
It's not finished, and it doesn't match up to most of the hardware specs of the original iPad, let alone the iPad 2. Yeah. It ships 3 months after the iPad 2 shipped.
Yeah, and it couldn't even adequately compete with the original iPad.
No.
So we're, what, almost 2 years in to the iPad now. And
no, not even that, though. A year and 4 months is all.
A year and four months? Oh, I did my math wrong.
It just seems like a long time because it's become so ubiquitous.
Okay. So even still, a year and 4 months, and they still couldn't compete with the original iPad. And so they gave, 49 days after it launched, they killed it.
Yeah. Well, and a month after it launched, they
cut the price.
They cut the price, but they also moved John Rubenstein away as head of WebOS, moved into some kind of position at the Personal Systems Group, which is the PC division that they're in the process of nuking anyway. He wasn't in charge at the PSG. He was like a consultant, you know, idea guy.
He better be updating his resume.
Yeah.
Which is a sad thing, but
yeah, I used to have high hopes for that guy.
You know, he may have done everything he could to make the touchpad as good as it could possibly be, and he may have been up against a corporate philosophy that beat him down and allowed him to release only what they did, and it wasn't the product that he wanted to ship.
Right. So we have some factors to talk about there. So the first thing is that it's the previous CEO, Mark Hurd, that bought Palm in April of 2010. And it was, you know, 2 or 3 months later when he was terminated.
Yeah, it was a few months later.
Yeah, not very long.
That's probably about right.
And it took HP another couple of months to find Leo Apotheker, who was the German head of SAP, the enterprise sales platform company, a big company in the enterprise world. Although, you know, find a user of SAP's products who loves them good luck with that. You won't do it. I didn't know where else to take that. I mean, just, you know, no one seems happy with it. But nonetheless, he was very successful at SAP. He's extraordinarily successful. He was a very talented individual. And he was brought in to head HP. And I wrote a column. Was that yesterday? It was yesterday. This all went down yesterday.
It was yesterday.
And I wrote a column that basically asked the question, what happens when you put a software guy in charge of a hardware company?
Well, now we know.
He tries to turn it into a bloody software company. HP was once a great hardware company. Once upon a time, they were a great hardware company. And now I believe that Mr. Apotheker wants to turn the company into an amalgamation of IBM and SAP.
I fear you are right.
Well, I mean, which is fine as far as HP and its shareholders go. My guess is that HP will be able to do that really well, and that they're going to go through a really painful period of transition, and then they'll probably be okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I just realized HP, believe it or not, actually makes my favorite monitor of all time. So now I'm thinking, maybe I should go pick one of those up before that disappears.
Rhett, you like it better than the 27-inch Sony display? Same resolution? Higher price?
Now, you're referring to the new cinema display, the LED backlit one? And the answer is yes.
Because it does color better?
It does color better. It's not glossy.
Ah, right, of course. Right. Yeah. I totally understand. All right, so to get back on track, we don't know if part of... The reason why we were excited about HP buying Palm and getting WebOS and making smartphones and tablets and whatever the hell else they were going to make is because HP had the resources that Palm didn't. And Rubenstein and his team at Palm had actually, WebOS is a pretty cool OS. The big problem with the touchpad was not that the OS was a piece of crap. It's just that the device itself wasn't very good, and there were some bugs, but people liked the interface, I guess, is a better way of saying it.
Yeah, what little I saw of the interface, it was actually really nice. Yeah. So that's too bad, because I think it was a nicer interface than Android. But I fear we'll never really get the opportunity to see that interface go head-to-head with the iPhone.
Right.
Or the iPad.
And we've been excited about it because HP has the resources to really do something. And their end results weren't good. Now, was that because Rubenstein wasn't all that in a bag of chips? Or was that because the guy he was reporting to is a software guy who doesn't get hardware? And
we
don't know.
I mean, either's possible.
Either's possible. Both may be possible. I actually think, though, that the big thing is at least a little bit of the latter.
That seems very possible to me. I'm also thinking that John might have had some issues going up against the HP corporate machine and the HP corporate philosophy. And I have nothing to base this on other than my Jedi instincts, mm-hmm. but it just seems to me that there's the HP way, just like at Apple, there's the Apple way or the Microsoft way, whatever. And I have a feeling the HP way may not have fit well with the John Rubenstein way, and that he was stuck fighting that uphill battle to make the product he wanted, even though the corporate culture was pushing him into making something that was pretty similar to what actually shipped.
Right. And we don't know. I bet you books end up being written about this.
I bet you're right. I bet that there are economic and technology analysts that have already started working on their outlines.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. Because, this is the death of Palm. I mean, WebOS still exists, sort of, but, ain't nothing going to come out of WebOS.
No. And, the death of Palm. Wow, that's really sad. I mean, what an amazing company, what amazing products, and what horrible fiascos at the same time.
Yeah. And to bring this all together, what upsets me the most is that HP had, again, just like we were talking about with Google having the opportunity, HP had the opportunity to offer a compelling whole widget experience and ecosystem. They had that opportunity, and they pissed it away, and now Apotheker is going to, if they do anything with WebOS at all, it's going to be to peddle the same kind of mediocrity that Microsoft has foisted off on us, and that Google's in the process of foisting off on us. And
that is such a disappointment.
It is a disappointment. I want Apple to have competition. I want Apple to make the best products. I have a tiny, 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 tiny share stake in Apple. But as a customer, I want Apple to do well, and I want Apple to win, and I want people to understand how great Apple's products are, but I want them to have to work for it.
You know, I'm okay with Apple having to work for it, because if they're working for it, that means that they're working to make the best products they possibly can, which makes things just across the board better for us as customers.
Yep. Yeah, and now no one is in a position now to give Apple a run for its money in terms of the end user experience. No one.
Quote,
one of my favorite Star Trek episodes. We tried to raise Starfleet. No one heard. No one. And then that thing. What thing, Matt? What was it? They say there's no Devil Jim, but there is. I saw it. Actually, I messed that up, but that's okay.
But you did really good. And if you watch closely, although they might have fixed it in the remastered, the shuttlecraft number is wrong.
Oh, my God. I did not know that.
Yeah, because they used the same model that the Galileo 7 shuttlecraft already. But by the time Doomsday Machine happened, or that episode was filmed, the Galileo 7 had already been destroyed.
Oh, that's right.
Because it burned up in the atmosphere of that planet.
Right,
it was Spock's first command, yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. I didn't know that, but the line I left off is right out of hell. So I saw it right out of hell. I saw it. It's a little sing song thing. Anyway, no one can touch Apple's experience at this point, and it's sad. And I am tired of the damage that Microsoft and the original Windows take over the PC world. I'm tired of that damage. I want some whole widget ecosystems competing against each other for some great product opportunities. I want that, and I'm not going to get it.
I fear you won't. And you're right. I think the best opportunity for a truly competitive marketplace in the mobile market now is for whole widget companies. And it sure looks to me like all these companies that came from the old style system where it's license out for everything, I think they really are going to do everything they can to keep playing that game. And this isn't the market for that game anymore.
Nope.
And HP clearly missed the mark, because they had the opportunity to go into the whole widget game and they could have seriously kicked some ass. But they waited 49 days and then walked away.
Do you remember? I had a total non sequitur thought. Let me close this out on this. Do you remember the old, just how funny the joke was? And the joke was on IBM when IBM agrees to license Windows from Microsoft, and they say famously, everybody knows the profits are in the hardware. Right, and you remember how funny that was, because the of course the joke was on them, and that the profits were all in the software on Microsoft side. Today,
right. But at the time, IBM still had what at the time was an old school philosophy.
Right. Well, today Apple is actually proving that true. In the smartphone market, the profits are in the hardware, at least when you control the software.
Yeah,
that's interesting. All right, if you noticed there in the old Skype, I sent you our outro since we didn't actually prep that.
I did see that, and I'm going to take that as an awesome hint to switch modes and say, if you have anything to comment on, add a question, send your audio or text comments to acm@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. Feel free to follow me on Twitter. That will be twitter.com/jgamut.
And you can follow me at twitter.com/tmobrian. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. Thanks, Cashfly. The bass was by Boom, recorded just for us. And our sponsor this week is Audible. That's all for this
week.
That's
right. And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.